And I want to talk a bit about the G21, but I also wanted to start about what you think is the real meaning of Mr. Li's deliberate suicide, and the relationship between life and death and this process of corporate globalization we're seeing.
Well, very directly, under the World Trade Organization's Agreement on Agriculture, the Third World has pulled down its tariffs and has just opened itself up for direct head-to-head competition. And, of course, many of them had been forced through structural adjustment through the World Bank and the IMF years ago to shift from subsistence farming to export farming. So they're really dependent on open markets in the North, and the United States and Europe will not open their markets. Now, in some level, I don't think that's all wrong. I think we have to make a huge distinction between supporting and even subsidizing family farms, sustainable farming, rural communities. That's a big difference between supporting great big agribusiness that's exporting and dumping its products in the developing world, which has opened itself up for this head-to-head competition and absolutely destroying farms. NAFTA has caused the loss of about 15 million family farms, subsistence farms, in Mexico alone. I mean, they're just reeling. That those last tariffs came down January 1st of this year, and they're just devastated. Corn from the U.S. and so on is just removing their livelihood. In India, it's not just the trade agreement, but it's the whole move to seed ownership through companies like Monsanto. And so what's happening is that small farmers, including in Canada, are being displaced all over the world. And so what happened in Cancun was that this was a dispute between the North and the South around this issue. And it was the issue. And it was about life and death. And Mr. Li was a family farmer in South Korea. Generations of his family had farmed the same farm. He got it from his father and so on. It was a huge, huge rice paddy. It was filled with rice paddies, apparently a very beautiful place. Got devastated when the Agreement on Agriculture was signed in the early 1990s. Lost his farm, started working with other families who were losing their farms, attended many homes where there had been farmer suicides, and went and camped out in front of the WTO with signs saying WTO kills farmers. Started an international movement of peasants, trying to bring this to the attention not only of the WTO but of people around the world. And they were in huge numbers in Cancun. And he made a deliberate decision, that he didn't know what else to do. There was only one thing he had left to give that would put this on the map, and he gave it. He, on the first day of the WTO meetings, he climbed the barricade that we had just all taken down and, you know, killed himself with a knife. And in front of everyone, he didn't even unpack his bag, and I know that because one of the people who works with me actually went over with the Koreans, and because he could speak Spanish, spoke to the people at the hotel and recovered his suitcase and so on, but hadn't even unpacked. I mean, he knew what he came to do, and he did it because he wanted people to know that this isn't about a bunch of technicalities. It's about livelihood and the right to life and people dying. And everyone was devastated. You should know, I mean, the Mexicans at first said, well, this is a cult and the South Koreans are all going to kill themselves one at a time, and they came real close to deporting them because they really were afraid that it was like an agreed upon thing. In fact, his colleagues didn't want this to happen at all. They were devastated. They didn't know about it. But I took it in the spirit in which it was given, and that is that he made a choice to give his life to put this on the map. And we did the rest of everything else we did that week we did in his name.
The one remarkable thing too about Mr. Li's death was the remarkable little amount of coverage that it got, and you've already kind of commented on that. I did note in some of the things you said last night that you found the U.S. media was actually better than Canadian media on this one.
Well, at least CNN and ABC were, and some other camera crews were there covering not just Mr. Li, but the whole thing. There was not one CBC reporter, not radio or television, not one crew. In Seattle, there were three CBC television crews. Now, and then there were none in Doha, which is the second to last time they all met. So, somehow this has just fallen off the radar screen of our media in this country. And it seems to me that we're getting more and more and more parochial. I can't believe it, unless the prime minister goes, like in the APEC meeting, this that, you know, where Chrétien has been the last week. then people, then the, you know, media will get a sign because the prime minister goes, but they don't seem to understand the importance of these things. Now we've got Miami Free Trade Area of the Americas coming up in November. I'm not hopeful that there's going to be any more media. Even the media that did go from Canada, there was just Southam and the Globe and Mail, kept it to a business perspective. It was in the business section of the paper. They hung around the negotiators. All they were interested in was the intricate discussions, and there was no reporting that there was an outside movement. I think the Globe and Mail had one kind of half a line saying that there was a protest of farmers and an apparent suicide, and that's all it said. That's all you would, you know, what could you read into that? So, and then no analysis after about the meaning of this incredible shift in power that this set of countries, including China, is really important. China chose to go with the Group of 21, which is this powerful new bloc that's emerging from the third world, instead of going with the North. That's big stuff. And, you know, even the business community should be interested in this. You can bet they are, but it sure didn't hit our media.